Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know the tune. This is the Brother Hut, episode 55 here. That brother's name is Brother Brandon Berg.
Good evening. And that brother's name is Brother Vincent Mary Carrasco.
What's up, guys? Great to have you back. And we got a good one for you. We got an exciting one for you. I'm pumped. You know, it's been a great week, and it's getting cold outside. You know, fall is here, so we've been doing some just some ways to stay warm, like building fires, you know. So we've been having fun with that. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Brandon Berg's a fireman.
Yeah. We are blessed here at San Lorenzo Friary to have 10 acres where the trees get tired and they fall over. And then we have to cut them up into pieces. And then there's so many pieces that we try to burn them, and we have a big place to burn them. Yeah. So we've been burning sticks and trunks and all kinds of twigs and branches, you name it. There's a little fire going right now still, so fire is on our minds.
Yeah, fire is on our minds. So, but it's been fun because, yeah, we were able to stay warm, and we got all these different places to have a fire. We got, like, a big fire pit in our backyard, and then we got a little tiny fire pit, and then we both love grilling, so we're always playing with fire. And, you know, sometimes it's nice, but sometimes you get burned. Bro, the other day we were burning all these branches. We got all these trees coming down, and I left my sweater there on the rock, and the ashes are like fuming up in the air, like 50 feet in the air. And I took my sweater off and I put it on the rock. We're outside and we're just looking up at these rocks, and I'm thinking this tree is there's a tree hovering right over the fire pit, and I was thinking, bro, this tree is about to go up in flames at any minute. No.
Yeah, those sparks were shooting like 30, 40, 50 feet into the air. We had a rager cooking up that first night.
It was crazy, bro. So I left my sweater there, and I picked it up at the end of the night. I went back inside, and I guess some of the ashes fell down and just burned it all. Like, I mean, I had a couple holes on it, but not all of it burned, but, you know.
Really? Which sweater was it?
Yeah, my Capuchin sweater from Detroit Province. Oh, no. It is Detroit Province. But anyway, that's going to be our topic today. We thought it would be really fun to just talk about fire. And, you know, we had a few moments where we were there looking at the fire, just there, right? Because it's so mesmerizing. And I remember we were all out there. We were just thinking of the fire and how, like, the spirituality of the fire, right? So, but we also got a special guest here with us to talk about this amazing topic. This topic is the fire and the spirituality that comes with that, you know. Brother Charbel Allen here with us. What's up, bro?
It's good to be with my brothers here in the hut.
Thanks, man. Yeah, finally here in the hut.
It really is a hut, too.
It really is. We're all crammed in together here, but it's all right. We're going to start sweating here soon.
It's good.
It's all right. This is going to be fun. So if you want to introduce yourself a little bit, bro, just say briefly, you know, where you're at in formation and where you come from, and yeah.
Sure, I just moved.
Where do you hail from, brother?
I hail originally from the great land of Ohio.
Nice.
But I recently, at least in August, moved here from Denver, Colorado, to Texas, San Antonio, Texas, here with my brothers, Vinny and Brother Brandon here. And I'm currently studying here in Theology 1, about to wrap up, actually. So this being in the hut's a nice little break from final study, actually. But it's good here at San Lorenzo Brindisi Friary. Got a great community here. Like Brandon said, a beautiful place, great place for prayer,
yeah,
fraternity.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be, you know. So, yeah, and we're fortunate to have a spot where we can have a huge bonfire like the way we do. And then, like, oh, you know, I don't think our neighbors have called the cops on us yet, but, right.
Not that we know about.
Not that we know of, right? But yeah, all right, man. So I want to get right in. I don't know how you guys feel, but let's get right in. The spirituality of the fire. We're just kind of going into that. And speaking of how in the early church writings, there's a lot of, like, poetry, you know, just the way that they writing, you know, some of the mystics, right? Just thinking of how they resonated with fire as being a metaphor or image of the all consuming fire of God's love, you know? And I just think that's very beautiful. And it was fitting for me, I think, just have that as our topic today.
Absolutely. You know, it originates, of course, from the gospel itself. Jesus saying he came to cast fire upon the earth.
Ooh.
And then also we think of course, the disciples on the road to Emmaus.
Oh, yeah.
Were not our hearts burning within us?
Mm-hmm.
But from our own tradition, we have Bonaventure, we have Francis,
yeah,
St. Padre Pio, who all refer to this reality of God's love, really.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just like the consuming, God's love consuming us to the point where, like, it burns, you know? Yeah. But I like that connection with Emmaus, you know? We're not our hearts burning within us. And so I think of just like the early experience of God's presence, you know, the early experience of God's presence, like being, you know, tangible, like with the apostles and with everybody that he had experienced, you know, that he had lived with and, you know, preaching, teaching, blessing and driving out demons. Right. And in that story, them experiencing God in a way that they hadn't before, like he was there, tangible, right? Like they can see him and everything. But it was like the resurrected Christ, you know, like the resurrected Christ coming in a way that they didn't recognize him, you know. And scripture says in the breaking of the bread they recognize him. But and then that was after the fact, right? After all that whole account, they're like, bro, our hearts are burning, bro. Like, just being able to experience the risen Christ, the crucified Christ, well, that gave them, like, their hearts burned. And I just love that imagery, man. You know, I just love that imagery. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, when we think about Jesus and his love, yeah, one of the common descriptions, of course, that we go to is fire. What also funny is, like, we oftentimes think of hell as a place of fire, or even purgatory, like a place of a fire that purifies, right? Not to destroy us, right? Mm-hmm. But to purify us. But then hell as a place of fire. But so there's obviously a fire you don't want to be in, but then there's a fire that you do want to be in, right? The flaming heart of Jesus. And yeah, well, there's definitely lots of Franciscan connections, scriptural connections. One of the ones that's been the most powerful to me was reading the autobiography of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and Jesus would appear to her in her room and, like, pull back his, like, garment and show her his heart. Whoa. And, like, it would be so hot that she would get burned by it. Like, her clothes would be singed and her hair would be singed, and, like, she could feel the heat. And he would say, "My heart is a burning furnace of charity for humanity." So it's this love that consumes God to come to earth, to give himself for us, to give everything to us, like, out of love for us. So yeah, that's the fire that we want to be in.
Amen.
For sure. Yeah, I don't want to be in the fire of, what does the scripture say? Gethsemane or fire of?
Gehenna.
Gehenna, there it is. Gehenna.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that distinction, because I think, the fire, we can think of it as punitive, the fires of hell. Purifying, purgatory, and perfecting, the kind of light or heavenly grace of heaven, the fire of love.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, we're aiming for that one of perfection.
Yeah. That's right. I want my heart to burn in the good way, you know, in the good way.
Yeah, no antacids.
Yeah, no acids. Yeah. That was...
Yeah, because there's a good heartburn where your heart burns with the love of God. And the bad heartburn where you had too much pizza at midnight with the hot sauce on it.
Yeah, yeah. And then you'd be burping in the middle of the night. Right. That's me.
Yeah, we've gone, we went right into the deepest depths of the most important fire. Like, yeah, but I've always liked fire, especially like campfires and wood burning, and just the image of it, like the sound, the crackling of a fire. You know, you can even buy like a fake fireplace that plays a fake fire crackling sound, and that can be nice. But like, Yeah, we were experiencing, all three of us, this last week with our fire burning here, like outside, you know, where the air is cold, the sky is dark, but the fire is bright and warm. And what I like about fire is it's so beautiful and powerful, but like I like that it doesn't explode, right? Like you can just throw the biggest log on there, and it takes a while to catch flames, you know? You throw a dry Christmas tree on, like that'll catch up kind of instantly, but most pieces of wood, like, kind of takes some time, so there's a little control to it. But once that fire gets going, I mean, yeah, it'll make anything move, you know? Just, it'll be so hot, and it makes its own wind, and it's shooting ashes everywhere, and you can't get close to it. I also, like, worked a number of years in the restaurant business, so, like, I got paid to, like, sort of manage fire. Like, you know, you don't want your steak to burn too much, but you want the grill marks on it, so, you know, so you need to get the burning in the right place.
Yeah.
And it was hot back there, too. Most of the things were cooking with gas, so. I like the sort of natural and the supernatural aspects of fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Natural, supernatural, fire. It reminds me of whenever we had the Christmas tree burn up, or shout out to Thomas Kane if he's listening, where they had the, we had this men's night at the Friar. Were you here for that?
I was not.
But you heard about it, right? We had this men's night, men's day at the Friary, and we had worked all day, we're chopping wood, like doing manly stuff, you know? And we I think at one point we had scotch and cigars, and we're just chopping wood, and just a good opportunity for guys to vent and get out the inner channel, the energy, you know. And so at the end of the night, we had this bonfire going, and it was a huge bonfire. And all of a sudden, Thomas Kane, he was like, bro, he's like, I got my Christmas tree. I've had this Christmas tree, and this is March. He's like, I've had this Christmas tree since December. Like, I've been trying to get rid of it. Can I toss it in the fire? I said, yeah, man, go ahead. And Bishop Yannick was there, too. He was there at the fire, like, around the bonfire. So Thomas comes with this massive Christmas tree. It's super dried up, and he just tosses it in the fire. And the whole thing just lit up, bro. It just lit, and it went super high. And I snapped this picture, and so you see Bishop Gary, like, just looking up at the flames, like, oh, my God. It was so funny. Yeah, it was crazy, bro. And then you could feel the heat, too. Like, just that heat just emanates from the fire. It's crazy, man. Like, you just feel all of that, you know. But, yeah, it's a cool image in the spiritual life, you know, just, and every time I'm by a fire, or, you know, same, like, I resonate with you guys in the sense of, like, I really like having a fire. Like, if I'm going camping, you have to have a campfire. If you can't, then it's not the same, you know. But, yeah, but I just, like, really love the imagery of the fire, and how it can really remind us of like the necessity of being really close to God's love, you know, because it's there that you feel the heat, it's there that you feel like warm, you know. And I think that's what some of the mystics, like when they wrote about it, like that's what they were getting at, you know, just the necessity of that. And I was trying to remember, I think there's a saint, I don't know if it's Aquinas or I don't know who, but I thought I remember hearing something of like them writing, you know, about this profound topic, like the mystery of God or something, you know. And they see, like, this, you might know who this is, Charbel. They see this moth fly into the flame, and it's like, and then they start writing about how naturally we're drawn into the flame, we're drawn into the fire, like seeking light, right? But then when we get too close, we're physically burned, and we're like, you know, and then we become part of the wax or something.
Transformed.
We become transformed. Yes. And it's all of a sudden, who is that? Do you know?
I don't know. It almost sounds like St. Bede, but I'm not sure.
Venerable St. Bede. That sounds familiar. Okay. But I was thinking of that. I was like, I wonder who wrote that, but I didn't have enough time to look it up. Yeah. I was thinking of that. I thought you might know.
It's a good segue. Can you? I'm thinking of, I was thinking today when you were talking about the topic of some saints, and just briefly, I'll mention some of the Franciscan.
Yeah.
What one is, I think, of Francis, of course, Brother Fire.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think at the time, his eyes were about to be cauterized, and he prayed to Brother Fryer. And Fire.
Sorry. Brother Fire.
And he said, you know, be very gentle with me, Brother Fire.
That's right.
And he didn't feel the pain of the operation on his eyes.
Yeah.
I also thought of Padre Pio.
Ooh.
Who, not too long before his famous experience of the stigmata, he experienced something they called the transverberation. Uh-huh. And that's just a big word for basically saying a kind of piercing of the heart, of God's love. And Teresa of Avila had a similar experience where she sees an angel with a kind of glowing dart that pierces her heart. There's a famous statue in Rome, Bernini statue.
Right.
But Pio almost had the exact same experience. He saw an angel. He wrote this to, I think, his spiritual director, who had a spear of fire.
Whoa.
And it pierced him into his heart. And here's the paradox of, I think, God's love, at least in this life. It's painful, but sweet at the same time.
Yeah.
And that saints often call it a wound of love.
Yeah.
And I pulled up this quote of St. John of the Cross.
Yeah.
Who was trying to explain this mystical reality. He says, it will happen that while the soul is inflamed with the love of God, it will feel that a seraph, very fitting for us, is assailing it by means of an arrow or a dart, which is all afire with love. And the seraph pierces and in an instant cauterizes the soul, which like a red-hot coal, or better, a flame, is already enkindled. The soul is converted into immense fire of love. Few persons have reached these heights. So it's just fascinating how Teresa of Avila, Padre Pio, and now we have John of the Cross describing this experience. And they mirror one another.
Yeah.
And they all use a similar language.
Yeah.
It hurts. There's a kind of longing, but it's sweet.
Right. Yeah, and that's what kind of you reminded me of, like, especially John of the Cross. And I think Avila goes there, too, where she talks about the flame, him and her, talking of the flame as being the holy longing. Like the desire that we have, and it's like we're desiring God so much that it's like this flame that cannot be quenched, satiated, they use, until like we're like in the presence of God or like with God, you know. And so like the image of fire also being this desire, like, yeah, that's really cool, the longing. You know, yeah.
It's crazy. What you were saying there too, Brother Charbel, made me think about St. Francis with the stigmata. Because the burning seraph appeared, the six wings, all of fire. And then he's wounded, but wounded out of love for God, right? So I think, because that's the ultimate image of love as Catholics that we have is Christ crucified. So love came and was wounded for us. So if we're experiencing the love of God that much, there's also going to be this wounding, right? But the wounding is chosen freely, right? God doesn't force himself on people. He invites you into that, and it can be scary because it's a fire and it wounds and it hurts. But that's why you need to try to pray so that you know God, so that you know that he loves you. And even though it's love and it hurts and it's fire and it's burning, but it's also healing at the same time.
It's beautiful. I love how you said God doesn't force it. Mm. And I thought of that today with Pio because a certain writer emphasized the fact, he said Pio didn't pray for the stigmata. Jesus appeared to him and it was an invitation. Will you participate in my passion? And the reason was, and this made me go gulp, was because of the ingratitude of those in the consecrated life.
Oh, what?
And I guess for some reason it was only today where that really hit me. I'd read it before.
Yeah.
And it made me pause, and I said, thank you, Pio.
Thank you,
brother. And Lord, help me. But I thought that was powerful. Jesus invited him. He wasn't praying for that. And I think that's important probably for the listeners to hear. Yeah. Sometimes you have to allow God to invite you. And I think of C.S. Lewis saying, we'll thank God eternally in heaven for the prayers he did not answer. I think sometimes we say certain very bold prayers and we forget God might just answer them. Yeah. Pio, I think, had the wisdom to wait and be invited.
For sure.
And not everyone gets that particular invitation.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a special strength, I think, to be able to, yeah, especially. I know if it's me, I'd be like, Lord Jesus, why, come on, man. How come you didn't answer this prayer, man? I mean, he probably did. We just don't recognize it. You know,
well, no
ways.
Is an answer.
I know, yeah. No. Yeah. He's gonna, yeah, no, that's what he said. He'd be like, no means no. Go over there and sit in the corner. No,
or we say, please, Jesus, give me this. And then we receive, we say, take it away, take it away.
Yeah. I don't want it no more. That's crazy. Bro, but what you said, though, reminded me, when you're talking about the wounding love, it reminded me of Richard of St. Victor. I just thought of that. I just thought of that right now. So
C-Pop will be happy.
C-Pop will be very happy, yeah. We're talking of just Trinitarian theology. Like, we're taking a class now on Bonaventure's Trinitarian theology. Anyway, Richard of St. Victor he influences Bonaventure in his writings, but he talks about like the four, and I really like his treatise, I guess, on like the degrees of violent love, he calls them. And but it reminded me, and he talks about how there's different levels of love that you go through, right? First, you're experiencing love, and it's like the inconquerable love, and then it's the binding love. And then thirdly is the wounding love. And then the fourth one is the languishing love. But in the wounding love, he describes it as like this whole event of a soldier going into battle. And then he's like really fierce in the battle, and he's fighting, but then he gets captured. Then he gets wounded first, then he gets captured, then he gets bound up, then he gets slaved up, you know, chained up. All because, like, he had this desire, this basically the desire to go out, right? But let me see what he says. That this degree of violent love, it burns the mind with ceaseless fire and enkindles it with the continuous boiling of its desire. Let me see. Yeah, the very thought of obtaining the desire, that's what wounds us. And that he kind of compares it with like experiencing God's love. Like, we're so drawn by this desire that like we become wounded by love. And it goes back to the arrow that you talk about, you know. Like, just cool, man. Just cool. I love the imagery, you know. Anyway, that's a cool, yeah. Crazy.
The saints are really the guides.
Yeah.
And those words made me think of, you know, fire can be very, natural fire can be very destructive. As it's beautiful, but we also know it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, the fire of God's love, the burning bush, right, that Moses encountered, it did not consume the bush. The bush was alight, but it wasn't destroyed. And that's just, you know, an image of how grace works in our life.
True.
And a lot of the church fathers spoke of Mary as the kind of fulfillment of the burning bush, that she was, as the mother of God, she had the word of God in her, and it was the fire and the life of God in her, but it did not consume her. Rather, she was alive and alight with God's holy presence as the Theotokos, but...
For sure.
But her is the kind of ultimate saint, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what grace can do in our lives, the fire isn't there to destroy, although for us sinners, it feels painful. it's always good to keep that hope and that reality alive that it's leading us to greater sanctity, closer to our Lord.
Yeah, closer to like his presence and things. And yeah, I like that. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah, like God doesn't want to destroy us, but he does want to burn us, right, with the fire of his love. Yeah, because, you know, to kind of make that, you know, something that maybe we can all latch on to, it's like God wants to set you on fire to transform you, but not into something that you're not, but like transform you into who you really are, right? This person that has God's love within you. And, you know, we all get busy, we all get distracted. And the speaking about fire, I always think about the verse from 2 Timothy 1:6, like, stir into flames like this gift which has been given you, because it's, I've given you the fire, you know, your baptism, you have the Holy Spirit, you know, you receive the Holy Eucharist, right? You're like, God is within you. It's a fire he's given you. And he wants to set you on fire, right? Not to destroy you, but to like that bush, right? To light the way for others, you know, like Mary, to bring God into the world. And that's painful, right? To be on fire is going to hurt, right? But it's not to destroy you. Right? It's to transform you and to help others know that burning love of God also.
Nice. Yeah, that's good, man. That's very, well, high five.
God is good.
No, that's good.
All the time.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Because you think of, like, the wounds, you know? The wounds. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, the wounds of, you know, where you're, like, you're experiencing God's love, but also the basic wounds of, like, loneliness, depression, guilt, shame, doubt. Like, a lot of things that we as humans experience on a day-to-day basis, you know, from childhood or whatever it may be, you know? But I like what you said. Like, God kind of moving into our lives and being able to transform that into a beautiful, you know, beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, even the other thing that came to mind was like, you know, fire is dangerous, and we live in this warming planet, you know, where fires are supposedly more common than they were in the past. But the thing about after the forest burns is like that provides all the ash and all the chemicals that the new growth needs, right, that comes up afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, that's cool. So if we move to a more, like, practical way of thinking, what do you guys think? I have a question. So, yeah, how can, and anybody for, you know, for people listening, how can day-to-day, how can we experience God's love in our day-to-day life? How can we experience the flame of God's love in our day-to-day living, would you say?
You know, I think of this bonfire. Was it been 2 weeks now? We've
had this fire roaring.
Thursday will be. Was it Wednesday? So this, almost 2 weeks.
This giant fire pit. I mean, it's beautiful because all you have to do is go out there daily and throw a few twigs, some logs, and stir it up.
Nice.
As Brother Brandon said that Paul's advice to Timothy, or Bob Marley, stir it up. Paul's a little higher on the Richter scale, but the and I think of the saints like Teresa of Avila and others who often use the example of mental prayer. They talk about what we usually call little acts or aspirations, little short prayers that we say throughout the day or our times in a mental prayer in silence. And they often speak of it metaphorically as they're throwing kindling on the fire that was already there to keep it alight.
Yeah.
So there's these little prayers, like Brother Lawrence practicing the presence of God, where there's already a fire there, but it may be beginning to smolder or get small. So you say acts of love to God throughout the day, and then the fire in the fire pit, it alights again. It comes alive. Right. We have to respond, you know. It's ultimately always God's initiative. It's his love that's ultimate, but he's mm-hmm. calling us to respond. So I think of something as simple as that.
Nice.
Which is just a simple phrase like, Jesus, I love you. Jesus and Mary, I love you. Father, I love you. Or help me love you more. I spent a lot of time praying that one. Like, Jesus, I love you. Help me love you more. That was something I would repeat. during my meditation times.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the day, like Charbel was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing I think of is that's the spiritual side, like throwing these kindlings on the spiritual love for God. And then the other side would be like the practical side, right? The first commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is love your neighbor. So just look for acts, the things that you can do. Like, and I tell people, like, you're already doing this, right? Are you a parent, right? Mm-hmm. So you're doing laundry, right? You're cooking meals, right? And nobody says thank you, probably, right? Most families, we just take it for granted, right? Mom does the laundry, brother does the cooking, whatever it is. But if you can, in your heart, say, like, Jesus, I'm doing this for love of you, right? Yeah. But I'm doing it to my neighbor, right? And once we can learn how to do that, then we can move out of the home, right? Then we can look for the needy person down the street or the family member who we haven't talked to in a while. And to, like, because a lot of people know this, all the wise people in the world, that, like, God wants us to do the right thing, but also do it for the right reason. And ultimately, that reason is for the love of God and love of neighbor. Mm. And if we can, like, practice that and be intentional about it, then I think that can really set us free to love in all situations, right? To love God and experience that, like, that burning flame of charity that lifts our hearts up to God and then moves us out into charity with our neighbor.
Dang, that's well said. That's well said. I like that. But, you know, as you guys were talking, I was thinking of the Jim Morrison. Come on, baby, light my fire. You know.
Say more about that.
I know. Right? So I was thinking of just, I think that many times in life, right, like our flame kind of dies, honestly, like just truth, right? Our flame dies, or like we lose sight of prayer, or we lose sight of, you know, just wanting to be in prayer, in a state of prayer, or like wanting to be in a state of grace. I think, you know, we just lose sight of that and we don't really desire that, or maybe the desire has kind of gone or left us, right? And I think sometimes that could be a really good prayer for us to make. You know, as funny as that may sound, right? Like, come on, baby, light my fire. I think that could be a beautiful prayer. Like, Lord God, light the fire that you have already placed in me, like re-enkindle that, you know? And I think of the wonderful prayer that we have from to the Holy Spirit, like, come Holy Spirit, and come Holy Spirit and enkindle, re-enkindle, reignite the fire within me, you know? I think the Holy Spirit has a huge part in that, right? Like the tongues of fire coming down on the apostles, the fire of the Spirit, you know, coming down on even the prophets, you know. So the Holy Spirit, I think, has a huge role in letting us re-enkindle, reignite maybe what's been lost, you know. Like what you were talking about, like going out there and just stirring it up. Just give it a little stir, you know. And what does that mean? Like just maybe making that prayer, God, re-enkindle the flame within me. Fanning the flame, what we talk about, what Canta la Mesa writes about, you know, fanning the flame of desire, but also fanning the flame of love, fanning the flame of the gifts of the Spirit, you know. That's what I think of. Yeah. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Yeah, it makes me think too of go to confession, right? Mm. If you want to experience God's unconditional love for you, go tell him all the deepest, darkest secrets in confession and hear him say, you know, I love you. I absolve you. Go in peace.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys had any, like negative experiences with fire? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, there's during my times of cooking, you've certainly got a few burns here and there. One time, it's a side story, but my dad and I had our own restaurant. And we had a grill, and it was a nice grill, and there was like a busy night, and I had something in the microwave, and it had this grease on it, and I was like, where am I going to dump this grease? And I just dumped it like right in the middle of the grill.
Oh,
and
my.
It lit up, and I had food on there, and I had to take it off, and it didn't go out for like 20 minutes, and I was like, that was the dumbest thing in the kitchen you've ever done, Brandon. And the fire was cool, though, and I liked it, but
Be kind to me, brother. Fire got burned, right?
One time, my mom and I lived in Lewisburg, Kansas, one time, and in this like duplex of apartments, and it wasn't horrible, but we had roaches, especially in the lady in the corner, and she, I think, was mentally unstable. And she, because of the roaches, she poured gasoline around her house and threw a match. And luckily, she came up to tell us that our apartment was on fire and we should get out. But we had to, like, stand across the road and, like, watch the fire truck come. And we didn't lose everything, but we couldn't stay in our place for, like, a month. So, yeah, fire, it can definitely be dangerous and scary.
Oh, my goodness.
Call the exterminator.
Yeah.
First.
Yes.
Come on, baby. Let me fire. Yeah. Man, it's such a great talk, man. Great time. Yeah. Thanks, Charbel, for joining us, too, man. We got some
honor.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. We got, like we said in the first couple episodes, we have some pretty good, hopefully, ideas and topics to talk about that we want to really share with you. So thank you to all the listeners who are making the time to sit down and. And hopefully this is really fruitful for you, for your spiritual life, and just experiencing us and how we experience, you know, the love of God and how we experience the Lord in our Franciscan spirituality. So hopefully it's a fruitful thing for you guys. I think that's all we got for today. I don't know if you guys got any shout-outs.
I got a shout-out.
Yeah.
I got two. One is for my uncle, Bill. I know he listens to all the episodes in your restaurant. Shout out to you. Thanks for being such a supporter. And to another one is Lillian Gaska. Lillian, you live somewhere out past Corpus Christi. I can't remember what it's called. But you've listened to every episode twice. And thank you for tuning in. And I'll see you when I see you.
Nice, brother.
I'll just give one shout out to my dad, who, as we've shared here, recently came into the church. So, he certainly has allowed the fire of God's love to work on him. And I just want to thank the people there at St. Joseph's Parish in Circleville, Ohio, because they're the ones who gave such a good example of what it means to live a good Catholic life and to reach out in love. So thank you to them for being like another family to my pop.
Amen. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Okay, quick shout out for me. I got a shout out to Gabrielle Estrada. She's a fire woman, fire lady, fighting fires. And then Thomas Kane, who came up during the conversation. So I hope you're doing well, brother. I think he's in seminary now, so we're praying for you, bro. And all the listeners, most especially, thank y'all for tuning in. This is another episode of the Brother Hush. Stay tuned for what we got next. Talk to y'all later. Peace.